Good morning and welcome to Walking with Jesus Through the Word, one chapter per day. I'm Pastor Jason Van Bemmel from Forest Hill Presbyterian Church. Our 858th day together in the Word of God brings us to Ecclesiastes chapter 8. This has been a very challenging, encouraging, comforting, humbling book, and I hope it's been a blessing to you. It has been to me. Let's pray, and as we dig into Ecclesiastes 8 together. Father in heaven, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for Ecclesiastes. Please continue to challenge us and correct us, give us perspective, point us in the right way, help us to walk in humility and faith. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Earl Grey tea, I'm drinking right now, by the way. Had quite enough coffee for the day, and so I've switched over to tea. I do like a good Earl Grey. All right, Ecclesiastes chapter 8. Who is like the wise, and who knows the interpretation of a thing? A man's wisdom makes his face shine, and the hardness of his face is changed. I say, keep the king's command, because of God's oath to him. Be not hasty to go from his presence. Do not take your stand in an evil cause, for he does whatever he pleases. For the word of the king is supreme. And who may say to him, what are you doing? Whoever keeps a command will know no evil thing, and the wise heart will know the proper time and the just way. For there is a time and a way for everything, although man's trouble lies heavy on him, for he does not know what is to be, for who can tell him how it will be? No man has power to retain the spirit, or power over the day of death. There is no discharge from war, nor will wickedness deliver those who are given to it. All this I observed while applying my heart to do all that is done under the sun, when man had power over man to his hurt. Then I saw the wicked buried. They used to go in and out of the holy place and were praised in the city where they had done such things. This also is vanity. Because the sentence against an evil deed is not executed speedily, the heart of the children of man is fully set to do evil. Though a sinner does evil 100 times and prolongs his life, yet I know that it will be well with those who fear God because they fear before him. But it will not be well with the wicked. Neither will he prolong his days like a shadow because he does not fear before God. There is a vanity that takes place on earth, that there are righteous people to whom it happens according to the deeds of the wicked, and there are wicked people to whom it happens according to the deeds of the righteous. I said that this also is vanity. And I commend joy, for man has nothing better under the sun but to eat and drink and be joyful, for this will go with him in his toil through the days of his life that God has given him under the sun. When I applied my heart to know wisdom, and to see the business that is done on earth, how neither day nor night do one's eyes see sleep. Then I saw all the work of God, that man cannot find out the work that is done under the heaven. However much man may toil in seeking, he will not find it out. Even though a wise man claims to know, he cannot find it out. Ecclesiastes chapter 8. Again, more very practical and sobering wisdom from old Solomon. Who is like the wise? A man's wisdom makes his face shine. If you have wisdom, real wisdom, not this pretense of a know-it-all wisdom, but the real gravity of perspective, of life experience, and of humble faith, if you have real wisdom, you're going to be of value to people. They're going to seek out your counsel and your comfort because you'll have things to say that will help them to gain perspective on their lives. You'll understand, not everything, because we can't understand everything. Sometimes what you'll understand is that we can't understand, right? You won't be quick to give a glib answer. You know, at funerals, when you've lost a loved one, particularly in a painful and unexpected way, the last thing you need is someone giving you glib answers that they know to be the right thing to say when it's just totally off base. But if you have real wisdom that comes from humility and with love, that's what people really appreciate. Keep the king's command. God appoints authorities. We don't have kings anymore in America and most places that you're watching this. We don't have kings, but we do have those who are in governing authority, and God's given them authority. And we need to honor that authority because of God's hand in giving them that authority. So we may not have a supreme king, but if you have a boss, a governor, a president, like the mockery. This is our modern political discourse, is basically to mock and ridicule everyone who disagrees with us. That's not biblical. That's not God-honoring. So we need to be wise and just. And even when the king, the president, the governor is misguided, we can pray for them. We can seek to be respectful in pointing out the error and trying to point toward wisdom. There's a time and a way for everything, although man's trouble lies heavy on him. For he does not know what is to be, for who can tell him how it will be? No man has power to retain his spirit or power over the day of death. There's no discharge from war, nor will wickedness deliver those who are given to it. All this I observed while applying my heart to all that is done under the sun. Again, we come back to a theme that we've seen so often in Ecclesiastes, and that is the more you pay attention, the more you realize that life is fundamentally unpredictable and uncontrollable. That's where our anxiety comes from. See, anxiety comes from our desperate desire and futile attempts to try to predict and control that which is fundamentally unpredictable and uncontrollable, and that's life under the sun. So much better is to be humble and to realize there's a time and a way for everything. Again, going back to Ecclesiastes 3, God appoints the time for everything. God makes everything beautiful in its time. Accept God's plan instead of trying to force your own onto what God is doing, to try to make the crooked straight, to try to make the mysterious plain. You're going to break yourself in the process. Now, this paragraph here from 9 to 13 is very interesting because at this time in redemptive history, 3,000 years ago, 1,000 years before Christ, before the resurrection of Christ, there was not like a crystal clear understanding given to God's people of the afterlife, of eternity, of what comes after this life. It wasn't crystal clear, but it was there. By faith, they could see certain things. They could understand certain things. And here's the storyline that's going on here. A wicked person, someone who was wicked and who prospered in their wickedness and who were even praised, right? You can think of people throughout history who were, think about how many thousands and thousands of people came to praise Adolf Hitler, right? They loved the guy, or Mussolini, or Joseph Stalin, or whoever, right? And they die. And usually once they die, people kind of see, wow, he really was a bad person. And it was really kind of wrong for all this to happen. Like, how did that even happen? You get that perspective of death that comes, right? And then what happens is because, like, lightning doesn't strike people immediately as soon as they sin or as soon as they begin to do evil, because the sentence against an evil deed is not executed speedily, the heart of the children of man is fully set to do evil. Oh, I can get away with it. I can continue to do these things and get away with it. And that's how someone can live a long life of wickedness. But listen to verse 12. Though a sinner does evil 100 times and prolongs his life, yet I know it will be well with those who fear God because they fear before him. In the end of the day, Solomon says, God is in control. God is wise. God is just. God will take care of things. It's not going to be well with the wicked. He's not clear exactly what the afterlife is going to look like, heaven and hell and eternal justice. He's not super clear on all that yet. But he knows by faith, because he knows the character of God, that God is sovereign, that God is just, that God is holy, God is good, and God's not going to just let things go. And so it is good to fear the Lord. And even if you have a short life and a hard life, and you fear the Lord, and even if you thumb your nose at God and you run after your wicked ways and you have a long life and a prosperous life, in the end, when God brings everything into account, it will go well with those who fear the Lord, and it will not go well with the wicked. But on this earth, in this life, under the sun, there are righteous people to whom it happens according to the deeds of the wicked, and there are wicked people to whom it happens according to the deeds of the righteous. In other words, there are good people who die young of hard things, or who have difficult lives, who are persecuted for no good reason, and there are evil people who prosper and who are praised. It happens. It's vanity. But God will take care of it in the end. And so, as you have opportunity under the sun, eat, drink, be joyful, work hard at what God gives you to work hard at, because that's the best you can do, really. You're not going to make everything right. See, some people see that. They say, it's just not right that these wicked people have these good things happening to them. And these, you know, all these good people are, it's just not right. I'm going to go make it right. You can't. You can't. You're not God. Right? So this is often the domain of the young, right? The young idealistic protesters who often don't even understand what good and evil is and what right and wrong is. And they think, I'm going to make things right. You don't even know what right is, right? You don't even understand which way is up. But even if you do, as you get a little bit older and you do understand a little bit more about right and wrong, and you can say with Solomon, yeah, that's true. Like, good people suffer and wicked people sometimes prosper. And you still want to say, that's not right. I'm going to do something about it. Trust God for it, ultimately. It doesn't mean that you don't care. It doesn't mean that you're not grieved. It doesn't mean you don't pray. But you're not thinking you're going to lead some revolution or you're going to take matters into your own hands, because you just can't. And so, God is at work. You see, verse 17, then I saw all the work of God. God is at work, but man cannot find out the work that is done under the sun. God may have a very, very good plan that he's pursuing and that he's developing and that he's unfolding. And you don't see the end from the beginning. You see a little tiny bit and a very distorted perspective. And if you try to go and make it right, you might be fighting against the very good purposes of God. You're not going to undo the good purposes of God. You're just going to break yourself in the process. So, in your toil, be joyful with what God's given you. Don't try to seek out more than you can know. Even though a wise man claims to know, he cannot find it out. That requires us to do something that is very contrary to our nature, which is to be content with being ignorant and weak. We have to, in the end, confess we're not God. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you that you are God, and that you are holy and just and righteous in all your ways, and that you will make everything right in the end, and we can trust you. That is certain as your character is good and unchangeable. Doesn't mean we understand it. In fact, it guarantees that we can't understand it, because we are not you, and we never will be, and that's a good thing. So help us to be content with being ignorant and weak. And as the ignorant and weak creatures that we are, help us to be joyful, because you're still good to us. You're still so good to us. And we don't deserve it. So thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, that's Ecclesiastes 8. We are going to go back to John, one of the great chapters in the Bible. So many great chapters in John's gospel. I feel like I say that every time we go back to John. But we're going to the death of Lazarus, the grave of Lazarus, John chapter 11. That's coming up tomorrow. Hope you can join me for that. Have a blessed day in the Lord.